With the Saturday Morning Scoreboard, I'm Jeff Duffy on Dakota Sports KOKK. State boys basketball tournaments are in the final day. The championship matchups are set for tonight. Class B up in Aberdeen will have a rematch of last year's championship game. Lower Brule and DeSmet will play for the championship. Lower Brule took care of White River in the first semifinal, 57-49. In the second, DeSmet controlled the game and rolled over Aberdeen Christian, 46-31. DeSmet looking for three state titles in a row. And in that stretch, the 2020 canceled tournament, they had the top seed. So DeSmet, no stranger to that championship. And again, Lower Brule was their opponent last year. That'll be the matchup in Class B. In Class A, undefeated defending champion Dakota Valley overcame a tough first half to rally and defeat Hamlin 77-63 in the first game. Dakota Valley was down 9 points at halftime, but then started the second half on a 19-0 run and went on to the victory. Their opponent will be Sioux Falls Christian as they defeated Elk Point Jefferson last night 75-51. The AA out in Rapid City, surprise, surprise, it's an all-ESD final. Yankton and Mitchell both knocked off the top two seeds in the tournament. First semifinal, Yankton defeated Sioux Falls Jefferson 69-66 in overtime. Jefferson, the top seed and the overall number one throughout the season, goes down. In the second game, Mitchell led most of the way, held off several challenges, and defeated second-seeded Sioux Falls Lincoln 61-59, Yankton Mitchell in that AA championship. The rest of the games from yesterday, consolation play, Class B, Castlewood defeated Faith 59-49, Viberg-Hurley defeated Ethan 56-42. Class A in Sioux Falls, consolation game, Sioux Valley 65, Hot Springs 52. St. Thomas More defeated Mount Vernon Plankinton 65-57, was the 500th career win for St. More coach Dave Hollenbeck. In AA consolation games, Harrisburg 65, Washington 55, and Pierre defeated Roosevelt 56-46. We'll run down all of the state basketball final matchups here in a moment. College basketball last night, women's basketball first round NCAA tournament, Blacksburg, Virginia. South Dakota State held off the Southern Cal 62-57 in overtime to advance. Jack's 22nd win in a row. They will play top seed Virginia Tech tomorrow afternoon. NAIA National Tournament women's basketball semifinal last night in Sioux City. Dakota State led in the first half. Clark University of Iowa took control in the second half, defeats Dakota State 79-69. Dakota State season ends in the Final Four and a school record 29 wins. A look at the schedule for today. As I said, final day for high school basketball in South Dakota today with the final day of the boys state tournaments. The Class B in Aberdeen, 7th place at 12 noon today. Faith will play Ethan. Then the consolation championship, Castlewood and Viberg-Hurley. 3rd place, 6 o'clock tonight, White River plays Aberdeen Christian. Then the championship, Lower Brule and DeSmet. The Class A at the Denny in Sioux Falls, 7th place at 12 noon. Hot Springs plays Mount Vernon Plankinton. Then the consolation championship, Sioux Valley, St. Thomas More. 3rd place at 6 o'clock tonight, Hamlin plays Elk Point Jefferson. And the championship, Dakota Valley, plays Sioux Falls Christian. The AA out in Rapid City, 1 o'clock Central, 7th place, Washington plays Roosevelt. Consolation championship, Harrisburg plays Pierre. 3rd place at 7 o'clock tonight, Sioux Falls Jefferson plays Sioux Falls Lincoln, and the championship will be Yankton and Mitchell. And as I said, that will wrap up our high school basketball season for this year in South Dakota. A couple of announcements to pass along here on Tiger Boys Basketball Potluck. It will be coming up this Thursday, March 23rd. That'll be at the High School Commons at 6 o'clock. Everyone is welcome to attend. Here on Little League, we'll begin sign-ups for baseball ages 7 through 12, coach pitch minors and majors. Sign up will begin on Tuesday, March 21st. Registration is online only at HeronBaseball.com. Coach pitch is for kids age 7 and 8. Cost is $50. Minors, 9 and 10-year-olds. Majors, 11 and 12-year-olds are $75. Scholarships are available. You can check out the Huron Little League Facebook page for more information. Timberwolves basketball on the air last night. They fell to Chicago in overtime. Wolves led by 10 heading into the fourth quarter. Did get a triple-double from Kenny Anderson, but they also lost Anthony Edwards 8 minutes into the game. He landed awkwardly and left and with an ankle injury and did not return, so hopefully that's not a long-range injury for the Wolves and Edwards. And we do have Minnesota Twins baseball today and tomorrow, 12 noon, here on KOKK. Dakota Sports Saturday will review the lower-level boys basketball season for the Huron Tigers with freshman coach Bryce Anderson, sophomore coach Spencer Staley, and JV coach Jim Noyes. That'll be our Dakota Sports Saturday show coming up at about 8 minutes after 8 o'clock this morning. With the Saturday morning scoreboard, I'm Jeff Duffy on Dakota Sports KOKK.
Just imagine the body weight you always wanted, better health, being stronger, having more energy, an overall feeling of well-being. The first step is the Nordby Center for Recreation. Tour the facility, pick up a schedule of activities, and find out information on the membership that best fits your needs. Wellness, health, weight control, strength, and boosted metabolism. They can all be achieved at the Nordby Center. Join one of Huron's best-kept secrets, the Nordby Center for Recreation in Huron.
With nearly 130 stores in 12 states, Slumberland has the buying power to bring you the best values from the nation's top furniture brands. Slumberland is America's number one dealer for Lazy Boy furniture. Slumberland is also the Midwest's largest retailer for Sealy, Simmons, Stearns & Foster, and Tempur-Pedic mattresses. Slumberland of Huron is completely locally owned and operated. Our staff, including sales and delivery, is made up entirely of your neighbors in Huron. So for the best brands at the best prices, along with truly local service, turn to Slumberland Furniture of Huron.
Don't Spill the Beans now has three convenient locations in Huron. In the Fair City Foods parking lot, at their downtown Center Plaza location, and the new one in Colburn's parking lot. Don't Spill the Beans offers specialty coffee and food at all locations and gifts and decor at their downtown location. Don't Spill the Beans is a proud sponsor of the Huron Tigers and the Tiger Pregame Report. Don't Spill the Beans, three locations in Huron.
You're tuned to Dakota Sports on KOKK.
Back on Dakota Sports Saturday, we review the Huron Tiger boys freshman basketball season with their coach, Bryce Anderson. Freshman boys finish with a record of 2-17. Before we get to the season, though, Bryce, give a little of your background. You're back in South Dakota for your second year. You're South Dakota native, but you left 20 years, came back with some family connections there. But bottom line is, you know, you've been gone for a while and just felt the pull to come back to South Dakota.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Had an opportunity out of college to go get a teaching job and coach in Arizona. Did that for about 5 years, and then made a move to Reno, Nevada, and taught there for about 14 years and coached football, basketball, also experienced along the way. And after the whole COVID scare, and our kids graduating and moving out of the house, kind of a pull to. Just want to go around and spend some time with family. Like I said, it's kind of tough with the coaching world, and then my parents are farmers, so they don't ever really do a lot of traveling back and forth. So like I said, it just kind of got to a point where it was like, you never know what's going to happen, so when we have the opportunity, we might as well go back and spend some time and build some relationships and things like that. And I have a niece and nephew that were, when I moved back last year, they were in eighth grade and in a sophomore in high school, and I just really wanted to spend some time being a better uncle to them, and that was kind of the big big push to come back. So,
well, let's talk about the season. And you and I were talking before we started. I always talk to freshman coaches. I say you almost feel like you're coach of an expansion team because freshmen are just getting used to different things. It's different from middle school. You practice every day. Middle school always has Wednesdays off, usually has weekends off unless they're playing. You're going everywhere the varsity is. There's a lot of long road trips. There's a lot of things these kids have coming at them that first year.
Oh, it's definitely an adjustment for them. Just the amount of time and work and travel and things like that that they have to put into it is definitely something they, you know, it gets kind of long and then they get over it. You know, I can kind of tell after about the first, how we had those first few games canceled and made up and all that kind of thing. So I can see after about 7, 8, 9 games, it was kind of, you know, starting to wear on it. But I thought they bounced back, you know, game 13, 14, and started playing with a lot more energy and kind of made that adjustment. So, yeah, you're practicing by yourself. There was only, you know, 10, 11 of us practicing, you know, at the high school gym, and we got a lot of work in. The kids did huge strides. It's kind of thing. I don't know if our record kind of really reflects on the growth and the improvement that our kids made, and that I'm really proud of. And teaching them a new system with you know, Coach Budenhagen coming back and taking over and trying to instill the foundation and philosophies and you know, things that he wants to instill in his program. So yeah, not only was it just the difference of, you know, time and schedule and travel, but, you know, kind of being a part of Coach Scouten's program for a while, making the adjustments to, you know, not Coach Budenhagen. So there were some different things that they needed to learn and that, you know, Coach Budenhagen wants these guys to have as their backbone to his program. So we worked hard on those things. And like I said, you know, the end result, you know, wins and losses, you know, at the lower level to me, I've been a varsity coach in football for a long time. And the main thing to me is, yeah, you want them to have success because they feel good about what they're doing, but at the same time, it's more along the line of, are they learning how to work? Are they learning how to practice? Are they learning how to be good teammates and accountable and learning the basics of our program is what's most important. So I think, you know, like I said, record aside, I think kids did a really good job of learning those things, and we'll expect them to have a lot more success in the win column loss as they go on.
Well, let's kind of run down the roster there and just talk about each of the kids and a little bit of what they brought to the team and you know, how they can improve for the future.
All right. Well, so we had about 10 guys to start out with, and Hunter Fenske is one of those guys, and he kind of had a strange injury to start off the year. He only practiced for about a week and then kind of went down with a season-ending injury to make sure that he was all good. So we missed his size and his toughness. We could have used a little bit more depth on the bench. We also had another player by the name of Rayshon Whiff. He was with us for about half the season, did some good things. But just kind of, you know, as we talked about earlier, the travel and the commitment and things like that and all the time, it just really wasn't working out for him. So started out with 10, ended up with 8. You know, we have Mason Jurgens, Oakley Anderson, Tristan Larson, Charlie Martin, Tommy Martin, Landon Holst, Riley Winiger, and Nolan Staley. And those were the main 8 that did all the traveling to all the games and practice and whatnot. So I'll talk about them individually now. Mason, unbelievable work ethic, toughness. Probably played 30 minutes out of, you know, 32 every game for us. Really good ball handler, slasher, athlete. Handled all the pressure when they faced a lot of trapping and full court pressure and things. And he did a good job of either scoring points for us or getting us into the offense. And just, I think, has a really big future. Oakley Anderson, my nephew, he's about 5'2". He works his tail off. did a good job of learning how to get coached, take coaching, understand that there's ways to get better. Again, Bobby played 26 to 28 out of the 32 minutes every game. Not a big guy. Sure did play his tail off, did a good job defending, does a good job of, being kind of the secondary guy to bring the ball up when you got to get out of Mason's hands, and pretty good shooters. Next guy is Tristan Martin, and to be honest, I really didn't know much about him, even though I teach in the middle school, Duffy. I didn't get to see much 8th grade basketball last year because I was coaching 7th grade basketball, and they're at the same time, so just didn't get to see a lot of it. But really, really pleasantly surprised with Tristan Martin's skill set, good ball handler, really talented shooter. Did a good job of scoring points for us, pretty good defender, and just another weapon on the offensive side. Needs to continue to work on his overall game, but definitely brings good shooting, slashing, does a good job of getting the ball to the basket and cuts hard. Charlie and Tommy Martin, they were big pieces of what we had going on. Bigger kids for us, kind of played in the post, a lot of rebounding, just kind of that size down low on defense and offensively. Charlie more of a defensive presence, rebounder, good passer on offense. Shot the ball decent. I need to kind of continue to work on ball handling and shooting because I don't know if he's ever going to be tall enough to play down in the post, but definitely tough enough to play down in the post. So, looking forward to seeing what Charlie does here in his offseason to continue to get better. And then Tommy, a little bit taller of the twins, and he did a really good job of scoring. When he was aggressive offensively for us, there wasn't too many people that could stop Tommy when he got going. So Tommy improved a lot from what I understand from eighth grade to this year, and like I said, really proud of the strides that he made, his toughness and willing to compete, and like I said, did a good job of scoring the ball, athletic, some blocks and shots, did a good job of rebounding, good enough ball handler to help us bring the ball up the court as well. So I think Tommy will be a nice addition as long as he continues to improve on his game. He'll be a nice addition to JV and maybe even varsity next year, along with Mason Jurgens as well. Looking to make a little bit bigger jump than just maybe a sophomore next year. Coming off the bench, we have Landon Holt, who this guy is an unbelievable football player, hasn't played much basketball. I think he's only his second year playing basketball, and kind of had to talk to him to come out, and I'm glad he did, because just his overall natural aggression to play sports and compete really made a lot of improvements throughout the course of the year. Ton of rebounds, good defender, did a great job on the offensive board, and a lot of putback for us. One of the few that we actually had on the team that could get the ball to the hole and finish against some of the bigger, taller teams that we played. Landon wasn't afraid at all to put his head down and get to the rim, and like I said, just overall competitiveness to want to go up there and get it done. He got a lot better as the season went on. Another guy is Riley Winiger. Just overall, kind of one of my favorite kids to coach. Everything he said, he was always yes sir, no sir. Maximum effort in everything that he did the whole year. Again, another kid that you just saw. I think he's only in his second or third year playing basketball. Middle school might have been when he started. And to see the improvement and just overall skill level that he was able to show throughout the course of the year, and the confidence to take shots and not pass the ball, confidence to handle the ball when playing better defenders. I just really pleased with everything he did. Said defensively, offensively, did a great job of coming off the bench and giving us a lot of minutes and energy and just overall great teammate. So really, fun to coach Riley. And then to round it off, we had Nolan Staley. I think, and I told him on numerous times, I think he's maybe got the biggest upside out of all the freshmen. He's very, very crafty. You can tell he watches a lot of basketball. You can tell he pushes himself when he's, you know, working on his game. He's got some just natural craftiness for his movement. He's a pretty big kid, and I think he's still kind of growing into his body and figuring it all out, but I just really thought I liked his moves when we were in practice, his post moves, his shot takes and getting shots and things like that. Like I said, it's kind of overall it's a little bit different than what you usually see at the freshman level, and especially, you know, on our team. You know, good touch around the basket and has some range to shoot 3-point shots. Like I said, still kind of, you know, working on the aggressiveness and competitiveness of playing sports, but definitely doing a great job. That's kind of our 10 guys that we had and that we played with this year. Like I said, I don't think the record overall showed how well we did, but really proud of everything that we did. So, and excited and hope these kids continue to stay out and want to be a part of it.
Bryce Anderson, freshman coach here on Tiger Boys Basketball, finished out their season with a record of 2 wins and 17 losses. We'll talk here on Tiger sophomore basketball next on Dakota Sports KOKK.
Just imagine the body weight you always wanted, better health, being stronger, having more energy, an overall feeling of well-being. The first step is the Nordby Center for Recreation. Tour the facility, pick up a schedule of activities, and find out information on the membership that best fits your needs. Wellness, health, weight control, strength, and boosted metabolism. They can all be achieved at the Nordby Center. Join one of Huron's best-kept secrets, the Nordby Center for Recreation in Huron.
With nearly 130 stores in 12 states, Slumberland has the buying power to bring you the best values from the nation's top furniture brands. Slumberland is America's number one dealer for Lazy Boy furniture. Slumberland is also the Midwest's largest retailer for Sealy, Simmons, Stearns & Foster, and Tempur-Pedic mattresses. Slumberland of Huron is completely locally owned and operated. Our staff, including sales and delivery, is made up entirely of your neighbors in Huron. So for the best brands at the best prices, along with truly local service, turn to Slumberland Furniture of Huron.
Don't Spill the Beans now has 3 convenient locations in Huron. In the Fair City Foods parking lot, at their downtown Center Plaza location, and the new one in Colburn's parking lot. Don't Spill the Beans offers specialty coffee and food at all locations and gifts and decor at their downtown location. Don't Spill the Beans is a proud sponsor of the Huron Tigers and the Tiger Pregame Report. Don't Spill the Beans, 3 locations in Huron.
You're tuned to Dakota Sports on KOKK.
We are back on Dakota Sports Saturday. We're going to review here on Tiger Boys sophomore basketball. Their coach this year was Spencer Staley. They had a record of 13-6 on the season. We'll get to that season coming up. But first off, Spencer, it's a little unusual for me. You're a kid that was, I shouldn't even say kid anymore. You're a guy that was around our house so much when you were growing up. Good to see you with this job. And I think I could have predicted 10 years ago you'd be coaching basketball.
Hey, thanks a lot, Jeff. I appreciate it. But no, it's kind of crazy going full circle about, you know, I was sleeping on you and Sherry's couch about 10 years ago, and then now have an interview about basketball right now. But it's cool. It's great to be here, though.
But the thing is, you know, like I said, I could kind of see you were going to go there, and you volunteered with your younger brother's traveling team for a while. You coached some middle school girls basketball last year. You're really ready to jump in wherever there was a spot.
Yeah, it was kind of a long winding road to get here, but I think, you know, when Coach Bud called me last year and wanted me to come over to the boys, it was kind of like the writing on the wall, so that's kind of what I wanted to do. So, yeah, it's been fun.
And then I did say this to you beforehand, coaching under Bud's kind of the same as when you were playing under Bud, right?
Hey, yeah, you know, people always say I was the guy he used to always yell at back in the day, and we'll say that now I started coaching, it's changed a little bit, but he still gets a little fired up here and there, so it's all in good fun, though.
Okay, your boys went 13-6, and I guess coming in, I don't know if you'd really coach this bunch a lot. Your younger brother's actually the grade behind with the freshman bunch, but I'm sure you're still kind of familiar with these boys coming in.
Yeah, so Bubba Peterson, I grew up with his older brother, and a couple of these kids I knew their uncles or aunts or parents. So I mean, it was a familiar bunch, but it was actually kind of a learning experience for me too. My first time coaching older boys in high school, but yeah, it was definitely something though, for sure.
Well, just kind of run down the kids here. I guess first off, at 13-6, obviously you got to be happy with that record, but I'm sure you're just going to say, yeah, those six losses, we should have been 19-0.
I mean, yeah, exactly right. I mean, yeah, I would say out of those six losses, there was probably only two or three blowouts, but I mean, lost by one to Harrisburg, had a shot to win at the end. And those six losses, I'd say those probably fueled us to get us where we are today. I mean, without those six losses, I mean, would we grow as a team? Probably not. So, I mean, it's all good.
Well, just run down the team, and I guess first things first, and I did watch some, not a ton of height with this bunch.
No, it was a fairly, I wouldn't say small, but a undersized group, I would say. but as we brought Anderson Porsche up from the 8th grade class, I mean, he was 6'5", 6'4", so it gave us a little bit of size, and with him, I mean, it was enough to rally around at least, so that was nice.
Well, just run down the players, talk a little about each, what they brought to your squad.
Okay, so I had Trace Wins and Colton McNeil are kind of my two starting guards, and they brought a lot to us. Colton got a little time on varsity this year, and Trace actually turned into quite the shooter, so it was nice for those two guys to take the next step in their journey. And then Logan Leindecker, Colby Hofer, I was telling you earlier about when I had a big guy coming. So we had a 6'5 guy against us in Aberdeen, and I would throw Colby at him first to muscle him up a little bit, and then I'd bring Logan in second to get a little size. So, I mean, a good little 1-2 punch there too as well. And then you got Bubba Peterson. Everybody knows Bubba. I mean, the life of the team. I mean, the really the engine that makes us go. I mean, he'll open his mouth here and there, but I mean, I think when he steps on the floor, he's always ready to roll. So it's nice to have. And then our last starter was Anderson Porish, 8th grader. It's kind of crazy to think that he was playing the Big Four last year and then coming and playing meaningful varsity minutes this year. But no, he came along. I think he about averaged 20 points for us and was one of our key players. So, I mean, just having those guys around was nice. And then rounding it out, I mean, I couldn't ask more from Dante Glanzer, Brady Feenstra, Ben Kleinsaucer, came to practice every single day. Not only gave us a look, but gave the varsity guys a look. I mean, there's three guys right there that'll be with us for the rest of the time. I hope they do stay with us. And then we had one freshman, Mason Juergens. And I can't say enough about Mason. I mean, he came up, only played three quarters for the sophomore team, but there would be multiple games this year, probably 10 or 11, where he was in the fourth quarter, we're down one, he has the ball in his hands, ready to make a play. So, I mean, I think if we can bring these guys along next couple of years, I think we'll have a shot to go somewhere. So it'll be good.
You know, and that's the thing with lower levels, too. I don't know if you dealt with this a lot till towards the end of the season, but, you know, sometimes you're going to be limited on quarters. In fact, Anderson Porish, he was just pulled up to varsity only there about the last four or five games of the season. Colt McNeil, a couple of times, I think, Trace Wins, you didn't have them for a full games. But, you know, that's life, because really, kids, they're looking to play off your team if they can.
Oh, definitely, yeah. And that's kind of what I say, too. When Trace and Colton and Anderson had to play varsity, I was so happy to have Ben and Dante, Logan, Colby, Brady, Mason. Like those guys really stepped up and played a good role for us this year. And you know what? I think in the next 2 years, we're going to have a shot to do big things too.
And just talk about some of the things you saw beginning of the year, opposed to the end of the year, some of the improvements you saw these guys make. Actually, you know, with 13-6, you know, they played some solid ball.
Yeah, so last year, last year, they told me they won about five or six games. So in my mind, I'm thinking, you know, if we can get to 7 or 8, you know, get more wins than last year, get them a little bit of confidence going forward, I think we'll have a good year. But, you know, we started off, I think it was 4-4. And next thing you know, we were 12-4. So, I mean, that 7-8 game winning streak really, really brought a little light to the group. And I don't know. I think even if we lose a couple guys this year for varsity, with these sophomores being juniors next year, we're gonna have a good shot to go a long way. So it'll be good.
Well, and as you look ahead here now, obviously getting set for summer ball, I imagine you are all in on that too. What are some of the things you like to see these boys work on? Because obviously we had enough seniors where there's going to be spots there to play at 7 o'clock next year.
Oh, 100%, yeah. I think as well as ball handling but shooting too, I mean, there's got to be enough confidence in our core group to where when the ball gets kicked inside out, we got to have shooters. So I think with this sophomore crew, there isn't a guy on this team that can't shoot. And I'm not going to say they're all going to go in, but when the ball gets kicked and they know it's a good shot, they're going to shoot it. So I mean, like going from the beginning of the year where they was a little bit timid, you know, the ball would get kicked, they want to pump fake and drive, and by the end of the year it was going bing bing bing, gets kicked out to the outside, it was shot, and not only shot takers, they were shot makers. So I think going forward it'll be a fun group to watch.
And to wrap it up, this kind of get back to you. As I said, if I would have predicted somebody is going to be coaching basketball back when you boys were in the house and around a lot, you would have probably been the first one I would have thought of. But I'm sure this year was still a learning experience. You're working with personalities. You know, there's psychology in this whole thing too. Plus, I know you had a role on the varsity bench as well. There's a steep learning curve for you yourself as well.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. So this summer we're going to team camps and riding with Coach Budenhagen in the car, he asked me if I would be able to do the subbing this year. So, I mean, I right away I told him yes, obviously, you know, just trying to be confident about it. But I'm not going to lie, going to that first game against Mitchell, it was a little bit nervous. But I think by the time we got to game 20, it was the everything, all the wheels were clicking, everything was going in the right direction. So, but yeah, I mean, being a volunteer, going from coaching middle school and then doing middle school girls, the high school boys, there's definitely a learning curve. But I think if I stick with it a couple more years, it'll be good for me. So, yeah.
Spencer Staley, sophomore coach for Huron Tiger Boys basketball as they went 13-6 on their season. JV basketball next year on Dakota Sports KOKK.
Just imagine the body weight you always wanted, better health, being stronger, having more energy, and overall feeling of well-being. The first step is the Nordby Center for Recreation. Tour the facility, pick up a schedule of activities, and find out information on the membership that best fits your needs. Wellness, health, weight control, strength, and boosted metabolism. They can all be achieved at the Nordby Center. Join one of Huron's best-kept secrets, the Nordby Center for Recreation in Huron.
With nearly 130 stores in 12 states, Slumberland has the buying power to bring you the best values from the nation's top furniture brands. Slumberland is America's number one dealer for Lazy Boy furniture. Slumberland is also the Midwest's largest retailer for Sealy, Simmons, Stearns & Foster, and Tempur-Pedic mattresses. Slumberland of Huron is completely locally owned and operated. Our staff, including sales and delivery, is made up entirely of your neighbors in Huron. So for the best brands at the best prices, along with truly local service, turn to Slumberland Furniture of Huron.
Don't Spill the Beans now has three convenient locations in Huron. In the Fair City Foods parking lot, at their downtown Center Plaza location, and the new one in Colburn's parking lot. Don't Spill the Beans offers specialty coffee and food at all locations and gifts and decor at their downtown location. Don't Spill the Beans is a proud sponsor of the Huron Tigers and the Tiger Pregame Report. Don't Spill the Beans, three locations in Huron.
Dakota Sports is committed to excellence in sports broadcasting.
Back here on Dakota Sports Saturday, we're talking with Jim Noyes, head JV coach for the Huron Tiger Boys this past season. They got through the season with a record of 3-16. And Jim, before we talk about that, let's just talk about your return to Huron. Everybody knows you were here a long time, but you've also been out west in a long time. But I know you've like kept a home here. You got relatives back here. You've been back quite often here over the last 10, 15 years.
Yes. Yeah. I always considered, Huron just a great place, and it was a great opportunity to move back, and we're sure glad we did.
And another thing too, you had not coached boys in quite a long time before Bud came to you last summer saying I need some help.
Yeah, I think it was about 20 years ago. The last time that I coached boys was over at Willow Lake. I had both boys and girls. So then I was here for 5 years, and then I was out west for 15, 16 years. So it was good. The kids were good to work with, and I sure enjoyed it. And working with Bud is always fun.
And obviously, at the end of the day, basketball is basketball.
Yeah, you know, it really is. That was before we left out there. I was talking to one of the girls that had played a lot of basketball, and she said, "You're going to coach boys basketball?" And I said, "Yeah." I said, "It's been a long time." And she said just exactly the same thing. She said, "Hey, it's played the same way. It's just a different level." But she said, "I'm sure you will enjoy it," and I sure did.
Well, let's talk about this team. As I said, 3-16, we'd like to have a few more wins off that. But at the end of the day, JV, they're developmental. And, you know, JV, they aren't always working on their own game. Usually they're getting varsity prepped for their next game. And so really their reward for that is playing that 4 o'clock game.
Yeah, it really is. We had three juniors this year that were on the JV consistently. And you're exactly right. They were the scout team a lot of the season. So Colton Ogle had, I thought, a really good season. He finished really strong with it for us. He was a junior. And Ezra Hiles was a junior. These two guys started all the time with Carson Evans. And Carson Evans is a good ball player. And we had Anderson Porsche, who was a good kid, an eighth grader that played a lot of JV, and then he got moved up to the varsity. So he was a real good ball player for us also, and we had a lot of the sophomores, and the sophomores had a real good team this year. So it was a good combination, and I look for good things from these guys later on.
We'll just kind of run down each of the kids and tell a little bit what they brought to your team.
Colton Ogle was—he was just a tough-nosed guy. And the last game that he played for us, he scored 24 points. He was good that way. Ezra Hiles is one. He was just consistent all the time, and a little undersized, probably for a guard forward type person, but that's where he played. Carson Evans, once again, undersized. He's a good shooter, and he did a lot of good things for us. And we're looking for good things from him. We had Trace Wentz, who played little sophomore, JV, and varsity ball, and Trace is just a good shooter. So, you know, hopefully we can get that out of him again. Colton McNeil, a good ball player for us. He started most of the time for us, but then he could only play two quarters, and then he played sophomore ball, and he played JV ball at the end of the year. Another guy that I thought really stepped up big was Logan Leyendecker, and he played hard, and he was around for the end of the practice season, and he did a good job. Bubba Peterson played hard. He's a good guy, and I think these guys are going to get nothing but better. Kobe Holfer just worked hard. He's one of the hardest working kids in practice and games, and I just like the way he played all the time. And they were good guys. And Ben Kleinsaucer didn't get a lot of playing time, or Brady Feenstra, Dante Glanzer, but they played a lot of sophomore ball. So, you know, that way they got in a lot of quarters this year for us.
Well, then one guy I do want to bring up, too, is Holden Haig. I kind of feel bad for him. He's missed two consecutive basketball seasons. You know, he was a guy who, as a freshman, was going to be counted on to probably be contributing to the varsity, but, you know, those injuries have just kind of held him back. But, you know, he was with the team the whole year, managing or whatever, and, you know, he's just a good kid to have on the bench.
Yeah, he sure is, and I really like him. He came and he was on the bench, and he was a good helper on the bench, and to see him go out and shoot, and, you know, just knowing his attitude, and I know he wanted to play so hard, and you're right, hopefully he can stay healthy, because I think next year he can really help us on the varsity level. And like I say, he's a good kid, and he'll work hard for us.
And now you mentioned the varsity level. We did have a pretty big crop of seniors. I believe it was six. And, you know, there's playing time to be had next year, but still, you got to make that next step. And that's hopefully what JV did for a couple of these boys this year.
Yeah. You know, really, so, and I hope that's just a great stepping stone. And we had some guys that played up that never did play down on any of the JV level. And Blake Elwine was one that was a freshman. Was injured, didn't get to play there for a part of the season. CJ Ganey's a good kid, and he started the whole year for us. Gavin Moding didn't play any JV ball, but he was one of the first off the bench for the varsity, and he's a good guy. So I like these guys. They're good kids, and you know, they're very coachable. And it's just one of those things where we need to spend a lot of time in the gym this summer. And I think these kids will, because, you know, it comes down to it. We got to shoot a little bit better. We got to play better defense. And I like these kids, and I'm sure they're willing to step up. There's a great chance for these kids to step up, because there's a potential for them to get a lot of playing time next year.
And I'll just wrap it up with this. When he made the move back to Huron, it kind of coincided with son Jeremy moving his family back here as well. Did you come back here thinking, you know, I'm finally retired from coaching, only to have Budenhagen get in the way?
Well, you know, I didn't really know. I was kind of surprised. Jeremy called me one night and said that he had applied for another job when we were both out in Rapid. And I said, really, where at? And he said, Huron. Well, I couldn't have been happier. And, you know, one thing led to another, and he came back and got into the girls program here. And, you know, there really weren't any openings in girls basketball. I had coached there, which was fine. And then, yeah, it was good to get back with Coach Budenhagen. So I appreciated that a lot, and we had a lot of fun this year.
Jim Noyes, JV coach for Huron Tiger Boys basketball. They finished out their season with a record of 3-16. That'll wrap up this edition of Dakota Sports Saturday. Coming up later today, we have Minnesota Twins preseason baseball down in Florida. That will start at 12 noon today here on KOKK. Territorial Rodeo Update brought to you by Premier Equipment of Huron is coming up. Thanks for listening to Dakota Sports Saturday on KOKK.
Time now for the top five countdown from the dusty old rodeo trail. Here's your host, Monty James.
To be brutally honest, the standings haven't changed much lately, so we're going to share our time with you this week talking about the changes going on in the rodeo world and accentuate the positive, as they say at Mary Poppins. True Grit. It's nice to see that non-traditional rodeo states are absolutely on fire right now. Iowa has more contenders in the top 15 than Wyoming. Whoa. On a depressing side note, it's also a major bummer to see so many up-and-comers from traditional northern rodeo states like South Dakota and Nebraska pack up their bags and move south to college in, say, Texas or Oklahoma and never return. Yeah, we understand the weather is nicer in Stephenville, Texas or Fountain Hills, Arizona than it is in Eagle Butte, South Dakota, but damn, man, part of being a cowboy is being tough, right? Am I right or am I right? Right. To summarize, mamas, don't let your babies move south to rope. They'll never come home and they'll always be broke, and that won't be tobacco in those cigarettes they smoke.
Rodeo season is just around the corner, and it's time to cowboy up at Young's Western Wear, Valentine, Nebraska, and DiscountWesternWear.com. Check out their massive selection of new and used saddles, Rancher Rodeo Ready. Don't matter if you're tripping, team roping, tie-down roping, or branded, they have one of the largest selections of ropes or lassos for you city slickers on the planet. Plus, cinches, pads, spurs, breast collars, rosin, and riggins. If it's rodeo-related, they got it or can get it at